Pace. Like Fratelli Didi said, I wasn't feeling too well this week, so I didn't exactly know if I would be able to stand here before you today, but I'm very thankful to them and to God for giving me the opportunity to maybe share some of his word with you all tonight. The title of my sermon is called An Obedient Fisherman, and it takes place in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, which we'll read now, and then I'll read a little later. So if you want to turn to Luke chapter 5, verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. The people were listening. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we have toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Now, at first glance, looking at this particular passage, it almost seems that we want to applaud Peter. After a long day of working, after a long day of sacrificing his time, trying to catch fish, Peter, at the word of Christ, seemed more than willing to go and cast his net another time, even though it was night. But in actuality, in all reality, this couldn't have been further from the truth. If we read between Peter's sarcasm, which is found in numerous other parts of Scripture, actually, Peter was pretty annoyed at the fact that Jesus was asking him to cast the nets another time. You see, Peter was a fisherman, and that was his profession. It's almost as if Peter was saying there exactly how he responded. He says here, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing." I mean, you don't think Jesus knows that, right? You don't think that he knows you were there all night trying to catch fish and you didn't catch fish. So why does Peter have the need to repeat this redundant statement? It's almost as if he was saying, "Look, Jesus, Rabbi, you're a good teacher. You're marvelous at what you do, but I'm the professional here. Give me some credit. I'm tired. We're not going to catch fish. I want to go home." And interestingly enough, Peter was wrong. They caught fish, and they caught a lot of fish, so much so as their boats began to sink and their nets began to break. And it's very interesting, the response we get from Peter. We would expect that Peter would have been ecstatic with how many fish they caught. "Finally, all of my hard work paid off. All night toiling away, and Jesus was here and he just made it simple." It's almost as if he snapped his fingers and they caught more fish than they could haul back to shore. And it's very interesting. Perhaps he should have thanked Jesus. He should have definitely been grateful. And he should have definitely focused his joy on the fish that he so desperately wanted to catch. But what was the response of Peter? Oddly, the response was vastly different. And interestingly enough, it had nothing to do with fish. The main reason Peter had been laboring for was completely and totally irrelevant at this point. And here there is a shift in the subject of the story. We're no longer talking about fish here. And as a matter of fact, there was so much disinterest in the fish that Peter had just caught, had the nets have broken completely, it probably would not have bothered Peter for one second. So what was Peter's response? Well, let's go to verse 8. Verse 8 says, "But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" What a response. What an unexpected response. Why? It's so different than from what we naturally would expect. It's so different from the senses. It has nothing to do with the fish. Ladies and gentlemen, it was in that moment that Peter realized he was in the presence of the Holy. In the presence of the Holy incarnate. Instead of celebration and relief from his catch, instead of delight for the service that Christ had done for him, instead of clinging to the Savior, Peter felt extreme discomfort in the presence of Jesus. Yes, his initial response was one of worship because of the falling to his knees. But nevertheless, it was extremely uncomfortable worship. Now, how do we know this? Am I just reading into the text? Am I just fabricating things that aren't here? Am I trying to sound intellectual and complicating scripture? Shouldn't it be more straightforward than this? Well, let's look at the text. But let's also look at the Bible as a whole and see how people respond to Christ. Instead of Peter saying something like, "Lord, I love you. I adore you. Thank you. This is amazing." In stark contrast, he essentially is saying, "Please leave. Please go away. I can't stand your presence." Peter is literally telling the Son of God, after performing a miracle, to leave him. Instead of clinging to him, Peter is dismissing him. And to clarify, it's not for a hateful reason. It's not that Peter now sees Christ as an enemy. But isn't it strange that in a life where multitudes of people are trying with all of their might to get to Christ, from the leper crying for mercy, or the woman who had been bleeding, struggling to touch the very tip of his garment, and even the thief on the cross, I'm sure, straining to hear the words of life in his dying moments to the crowds that followed him. We have Peter here, face to face, having seen his power, having seen his divinity, and having been a beneficiary from it, giving us a completely opposite response. And the reason is simple. It is because Peter realized he was a sinful man. And I don't know about you, but ladies and gentlemen, sinful people are not comfortable in the presence of the Holy. It doesn't take a smart man to figure out that in the presence of other thieves, thieves are extremely comfortable. But just put a police officer in their midst, and they suddenly get very nervous and probably sweat a lot. Jesus showed Peter who he was and who Peter was. And in the power of the Almighty, he did it without saying a word. There was no lecture of Peter's sins. There was no rebuke for mocking the Savior before casting the net. And there was no judgment pronounced on the head of the disciple out of the words of the Savior. All Jesus did was show Peter how to catch fish. And when the Holy is made manifest, and when the miraculous acts of power and dominion are evident, when the eternal difference between a man and the Son of God are brought to light, in this case, no words were needed to express it. And this is mirrored in the unbelieving world today. Everyone knows in their hearts that there is a holy God and that they stand condemned if they are not in his Son. And their very consciences tear away at them with this truth. And Peter got the message, and it was burning in the very depths of his being. And he was afraid. This wasn't just a leave me because I am unworthy, but there was fear in the heart of Peter. If we turn to verse 10, Jesus says to Simon, "Do not be afraid." The standard of absolute righteousness and all purity blazed before the eyes of Peter. Much like Isaiah before him and his encounter with the Holy in the Old Testament, Peter was totally and utterly undone. He was falling apart at the seams. And the very essence of his existence was in utter despair. It seems too harsh. Maybe again I'm reading into the text. Could it really be that Peter felt the gravity of God's holiness to such a degree? Is this even consistent with who God is? In the words of a very wise R.C. Sproul, I think he puts it and Christianity in a nutshell very well. People, he says, have an appreciation for moral excellence, for good virtue, but as long as is removed a safe distance from them. The Jews honored the prophets from a distance, and the world honored and honors Christ from a distance. As soon as they're held to his moral standard, to his perfect standard, their appreciation turns into hostility, and their praise turns into crucifixion. Peter wanted to be with Jesus until he got too close. Then Peter cried, "Please leave." And ultimately tonight, you have two options. Ultimately, for our lives, we have two options. We can experience the holiness of God, which everyone will, and we can do everything to escape it. We can try in all of our might and all of our powers to suppress it, to run from it, to preoccupy our time and our mind with things that will keep it away from the forefront. Or, and listen to this, we can be clothed in it. Through Christ, we can be partakers of a moral perfection, of a righteousness that is alien and foreign to us. And then we no longer have to flee, but we can embrace God and his holiness and develop a love for him as he is. May God help us all. Amen. Amen.